You look like the young man that you pretend to be, Rick. I was so tempted in that spot to say Wayne Boggs.
You say this every time that spot plays.
But I don't think I've said it on the air yet.
You have.
Have I? Yeah. Wait. I'm sorry. Let me do that right. To say Wayne Boggs. All right. That's the best laugh ever. I'm so glad we captured that. His other laughs are good, but it's just that little trill at the end. Rick, Andy Taylor plays guitar for Duran Duran. He's not on WKRP. This is from a listener with the greatest name ever.
Amanda Pants?
No. Is that really her name?
Yeah, no, she loves Duran Duran. That's what I thought.
Amanda
I was...
Pants. Pantialis Mandalis. Pantalonis something. Mundialis. No, this is from Marianne Rambo. It's a real listener. The real name of Marianne Rambo.
Good name.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Really? I'm talking to a guy who has a hot dog stand in Hawaii? Has Scotty just given up because the Cassidy thing didn't work out?
He is heartbroken.
He's phoning it in now. His call screening, sure, just let him all through. All right, well, we'll talk to a guy here in a moment who has a hot dog stand in Hawaii.
How did he do it?
What?
Open up a hot dog stand in Hawaii.
I don't know.
That sounds like a challenge.
Maybe you can ask him all about it. Maybe you can get Dave Paul in here and he can tape a weekend segment about it. He could do a 25-minute Sunday PSA show about it.
At least it would be something people are listening to.
Hey, but no, don't. Now we've got, you know, on the weekend now we've got the Timnasium. It's not Batman. It's like the Batman. It's the Timnasium with Tim Sapp, which is a good show.
Very good show.
It is. If you listen to it, I mean, it's not flawless. Needs a little polish. But you know what? It's not easy to go from being a music jock to just sitting in here for 2 hours by yourself. And that theme music ends and suddenly you're terrified because you realize you have to fill the next 120 minutes. That is not an easy thing to do. And he's done it for 4 weeks and he keeps coming back. And so I give props to that young man for that. Anyway, Timnasium. I'm sorry, the Timnasium. Saturdays 4 to 6 right here on this Free FM radio station. We'll talk to Kristen in a second. And then Daryl, who wants to fight the vegan. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the City of Angels, the city of things and stuff.
Thank God he didn't have his headphones on.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles, how are you?
I am well, good afternoon.
Is it hot there?
It's hot.
Okay.
It's Africa hot.
Well, now that we've covered that. I have a question, and here's the reason I'm talking, because according to the CNN prep sheet, was this prepared by Laura Caviezel today, Sarah, or somebody else?
No, Laura's out till Thursday, I think.
No, she's in the mornings. She's working mornings. Tyler's out. Tyler Moody is in, I don't know, somewhere. He's on vacation.
I've been talking to a very nice man named Richard.
Yeah, Richard's, he's doing the afternoons for Laura because Laura's doing mornings for Tyler.
Can I tell you this? By the way, somebody sent me a picture of Tyler Moody, who is one of the other bookers there at CNN Radio. He seems like a nice young man. Looks like a guy who really is, looks like a guy who would share, sell you timeshares, though. Like a slick black hair and like huge capped teeth. Looks like a guy who would call you, sir, would you like to know how you could double an investment or perhaps triple an investment inside of 30 days? I have a free gift waiting for you if you'd like to listen to this, seminar from Premier Properties Incorporated. What would be a good time to come talk to you and your wife? That's what that guy sounds like. Good guy, though. There's a thing about a California heat wave, which is not a thing that typically people in Portland would care about a whole lot, except that this is happening here, too, and everywhere, and I don't know whether it's global warming or whether it's just hot. But Governor Schwarzenegger ordered state offices to adjust thermostats and turn off non-essential lights for the rest of the week to reduce electricity, et cetera.
Well, that's something they should be doing anyway.
Well, did you ever see, I don't mean to sound like a curmudgeon, but did you ever drive across a bridge or whatever? And I'm the first to admit that cityscapes look beautiful at night when all the buildings are lit up. But did you ever stop to ponder how much electricity and how much money it costs every year to light up the city skyline in buildings that are closed from like 5 p.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yep.
It really boggles the mind when you think about how much money that must cost. But in California, you guys, of course, get the rolling blackouts and brownouts and so forth.
Well, we've increased our energy supply by 1,900 megawatts between last year and this year. That's why we haven't been really on any major alerts yet. Now, we're on a power watch, obviously, but we've not been threatened with rolling blackouts just yet.
Well, see, this is my question, because, Scotty, my intern here is telling me on the screen that we're about to hit a huge heat wave in Portland, et cetera. It's supposed to be 104 and so forth. I don't understand... Why? I mean, I don't understand how power works. And I don't mean in a scientific way. I mean, They know it's going to be hot. Summer comes about the same time every... I mean, July didn't show up any earlier or later any year. I don't understand how it is that cities are caught unawares by the fact that a whole that everybody's going to be turning on their air conditioning.
Well, I think they average what the expected usage is going to be, and then if hot weather does come early or unexpected heat wave and people start cranking up their air conditioners at noon to are down to 65 degrees or whatever, or and at the same time they're still doing laundry and cooking in the oven and doing all this other kind of stuff, it just increases the load. And the longer it's hotter, or the earlier it gets hotter, which means the longer it'll be hotter, the more power is used up. And they have, and cities buy power.
Now, where do cities buy power from?
It's generated from either, you know, water coming down a mountain, you know, or it's produced with some sort of petroleum product of some kind. But there's only a certain amount there. And you can't really even store power. It's not like you can take electricity and put it on a shelf somewhere. It sort of hums there, and you either use it or you don't.
So confusing. And so when you say the city buys power,
yes.
I mean, Ken Lay notwithstanding, where does the city buy the power from?
Well, from anybody who produces it. The power plants are owned by someone. They're not, you know, I mean, they're not state-owned power lines.
Doesn't it seem like they should be?
Edison's a company. You got to buy power from Edison.
Doesn't that seem like a thing that the government really should own themselves?
Well, what bothers me is with all the water we have here, we got a whole freaking ocean out there. Why can't we produce, you know, and we have sun.
And we got the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sun, which is, in fact, responsible for all life everywhere.
Sun and water. We got plenty of it here. Why it's costing us anything to turn a light on is beyond me.
Well, you know, and that would totally get the Mideast off our backs, too.
True.
You know? So, and I mean,
you know, we're dealing with things, you know, I'm no kind of scientist.
You're not a tree hugger.
I'm not. No. I say cut the tree down and make a table out of it and slice some meat up and give me a sandwich. You know. But that's the, it's been explained 100 times, and that's the best I can
do. All right. I'm just not a very smart guy, and so some of these things sort of puzzle me.
It's not that you're not a smart guy. It's that everybody makes things more complicated than they should be.
That is true.
It is simple. We have sun and we have water. We should be able to produce lots of energy.
Yes. No, that is. Now, and there you go.
Somebody build a building that we can harness the sun's power, run the water through it to create enough energy, and then let's just give people power.
That's why you and I aren't in charge, though, because we're too clear-minded about all this.
It would cost us what? $15 million to build the hydroelectric plant.
And then you're good.
And then we're good.
And you're good to go. All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Stay cool, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
I will do my best. You too, sir.
Thank you, brother. There you go. There's Jim Roop in L.A. All right. Scotty's mocking him. He didn't even know the answer. Scotty, I think today of all days, you might want to lay off on who knows what and who's able to do what correctly.
And who accomplishes what better.
I'm just
kidding. He was almost in tears. Let's leave him alone.
You know, David Cassidy would probably have been your best friend. You probably could have hung out together.
He figured out his password to get into his voicemail box. We should listen to the message.
Oh, to his David Cassidy message? Ugh, it's 2:15.
We'll do that after the break.
All right. Well, let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Brief. Tim Riley reporting. More than 14,000 civilians have been killed in Iraq in the first half of this year. These reflect killings, kidnappings, and torture.
Are we going to run out of people over there eventually? I don't mean U.S. military.
This is a country the size of California. There are plenty of people to kill. There have been more than 5,800 deaths and more than 5,700 injuries reported in May and June alone. Meanwhile, on the 28th of May, an Iraqi tennis coach and two of his players were shot dead because they were wearing shorts. In Baghdad neighborhoods, women are now prevented from going to the markets alone.
Islam is a religion of peace.
Mm-hmm. At least 45 people were killed and 60 wounded today so far when a suicide bomber detonated a heavy bomb in a marketplace where people are gathered around. Let's see here. Homosexuals are being killed on a normal day. And other than that, most of them are just ungrateful savages, unable to embrace democracy.
You know what they need is a little more religion over there. Mm-hmm. It seems like the healing
they
and
need
peaceful,
to believe in their God.
The healing and peaceful influence of God clearly is what they're in short supply of over there.
That's for sure.
Yes. All right.
Up to Florida we go for some American killings.
Oh, you.
I didn't even look ahead.
You knew it was coming. You knew it. You looked ahead, you harlot.
It isn't even labeled. Look.
We are talking about Florida.
Fine.
Family and friends of a man who was shot and killed in Winter Garden spotted the alleged shooter and went after him like rabid dogs until police arrived. Shock and grief quickly turned into rage when the alleged shooter was spotted cowering behind a house. Family and friends of the victim went after him like rabid dogs. Fighting ensued until police arrived at the Central Health Hospital. It was placed under lockdown after a large group of the victim's family and friends entered the facility. Officials took the hospital out of lockdown a short time later. Two people are dead, four others wounded after shooting broke out at a Dallas nightclub. Dallas police say it was a rap song called Get Your Hood Up that started the violence.
The atmosphere was calm, festive, but once this song was played, it became combative. We believe strongly, and according to the witnesses who were present, believe that that was the flashpoint.
What?
I don't understand. Hold on. This is a song called what?
Get Your Hood Up.
The atmosphere was calm, festive, but once this
calm, festive,
played, it became combative. We believe strongly, and according to the witnesses who were present, believe that that was the flashpoint.
Lyrics call for listeners to confront people. Oh. Confront people from other neighborhoods. Oh, well, that's why it happened, obviously.
And to then get your... So it's no longer evil wicked rock musicians. It is now evil, wicked gangster rappers who are inciting. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
A Bozeman man told a judge he was defending himself and he stabbed another man in the buttocks during a weekend fight at Taco John's drive-thru.
In Kennewick?
No, this is Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, really? Taco John's, man. I haven't once seen one of those since I left the Tri-Cities.
I am not a violent person, said Ryan Anthony Farmer.
After
I assault
stabbing
my
a man
life
in the
was in danger.
Yeah, okay.
On Friday night, Farmer turned into the Taco John's drive-thru, driving fast, intending to buy his dinner. He was stopped behind Richard Cole, who already finished ordering his meal. Cole got out of his vehicle and told Farmer to slow down. Farmer told police he must have responded by yelling, "Who the F are you?" Cole described as big and burly in court records, approached the driver's side of Farmer's vehicle and hit Farmer in the face. Farmer grabbed a hunting knife from behind the seat to protect himself and stabbed the man in the buttocks. Cole then put him in a chokehold. Moments later, both men fell to the ground and were rolling around. Then Cole was stabbed in the buttocks again.
You just can't stab a guy in the buttocks too many times.
Mm-hmm. So that's the latest of buttock stabbing from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle.
Right. We should do the snuff watch because otherwise we're going to get behind.
All right, we have
a double snuff watch. So let's do the special one first, and then we'll end with the Hooters guy. All right, so here's how we're going to do this, then we'll go into the break, Sarah. Here's what we'll do. You will play the snuff watch open.
I heard it.
Okay, and then Tim and I will do the snuff watch. Tim will do the snuff watch, and then I will play the snuff watch close because we've had some requests from people to play the Jim Carroll song, The People Who Died, and we're not going to play. The song's like 80 minutes long, so we're not going to play the whole thing, but it will play like 90 seconds of it or so. We'll close. You want to work here? When we close the snuff watch, we will not play the normal 15-second version. We'll play like a 90-second version of People Who Died so you can get a feel. We do this every now and again. We play a longer version of one of our themes so you can hear the song. Go ahead. This is your double snuff watch for Tuesday. All right, so now we have two snuff watches to get to today, and one of them is from yesterday. It was the Hooters guy, which you may have heard us refer to earlier. The second but most recent snuff watch, which we will do first here, is the death of writer Mickey Spillane, and so in honor of Mickey Spillane's life and work, we will now present to you Mickey Spillane's obituary as written by Mickey Spillane, ladies and gentlemen.
Mickey Spillane, a tough-talking, street-smart, wise guy with a gift for the gab, took a dirt nap late Monday afternoon. His PR man spilled the beans, said Spillane finally bought it after 88 long years. A good run-up, he asked most of the bookies in this town. Spillane called Brooklyn home and three different dames his wives. In 1946, he started pounding the keys and that old Smith Corona. The only instrument he really ever learned how to play. He had a pick with novels about Mike Hammer, an old nonsense gumshoe, a temper to burn, and a five-knuckle cure for the common criminal. Tinseltown took a shine to the private Dick, and for a while he played the Hollywood game. But he always kept one foot in the gutter, whether he liked it or not. Prowling his way through 16 novels of bars, brawls, bourbon, and bronze. Sleuthing the stiffs and giving any lowlifes a little chin music for their troubles. Spillane knocked out the pulp until the very end, living his life like one big black and white movie. And he didn't waste time with the upper crust, or what they thought. He got himself a few dollars, found a place to call home, and held on to life with both hands. He wrote himself a piece of the pie and ate the whole damn thing. So come on, pour yourself a tall glass of breakfast and raise a toast to late nights, pool halls, and women who smell like danger. Yeah, this one's for you, Mickey, a real tough guy.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey Spillane, author, dead at the age of 88. All right, there you go. That's very sad. And he was in those Miller Lite commercials in the 80s, yeah, too, where he was always flanked by a bunch of... I remember reading Mike Hammer novels when I was a teenager. I remember reading I, the Jury, and thinking it was just like the best book I'd ever read in my life. And he always referred... He had a couple of those sort of Spillane-isms where he always referred to women as a little... He would always... He wasn't just dames. He would actually refer to women as, I saw a piece of fluff sitting at the end of the bar, which is fantastic. Yeah. And he didn't drive a car. He drove a heap. I fired up my heap and I hightailed it onto the highway. All right, here's
and, of course, there was the Mike Hammer television show from 84 to 87.
Stacey Keach, man, I was so bummed because the Mike Hammer TV show was fantastic. And then it ended when he went to prison for blow.
Yep.
And it was just too bad because it was him and I was telling Sarah that she and Nate ought to go as Mike Hammer and Velda, his secretary, for Halloween this year, which would be fantastic. All right, yeah, he set the standard, man. Without Mickey Spillane and Mike Hammer, there'd be no Dirty Harry. There would any television detective, any movie detective of the last 40 years wouldn't have existed without Mickey Spillane and Mike Hammer. So he will be missed. There you go. Can't live a much better life than that guy, though.
Nope.
All right, here's the second half of that.
Robert Brooks, the chairman of Hooters of America Incorporated, who made a fortune selling chicken wings served by scantily clad waitresses, was found dead in his home Sunday. He was 69. It's unclear how Brooks died. The Horry County Coroner's Office.
I'm sorry?
The Horry County, H-O-R-R-Y County,
okay,
Coroner's Office told the Myrtle Beach Sun that an autopsy would be performed today. Several calls to the coroner's office went unanswered. Nobody home. He first opened his first store in Clearwater, Florida in 1983. The chain has expanded across the U.S. and into a dozen countries, ranging from Taiwan to Venezuela. Hooters has about 61 million annual visitors to its 425 restaurants. Brooks, born on a tobacco farm near Loris, which is near Myrtle Beach, founded Eastern Foods Incorporated, which makes dressings and sausages, in 1966. With a group of Atlanta investors, Brooks brought expansion and franchise rights with the Hooters chain in 1984. He eventually bought majority control and became chairman. Local leaders remember Brooks as a smart businessman with a down-to-earth flair who never forgot where he came from.
All right, there you go. Hooters chair Robert Brooks dead. His body will be coated with high fructose barbecue sauce and served to horny rednecks. Let's end now, ladies and gentlemen, a little expanded version. This is People Who Died by the Jim Carroll Band. Jim Carroll, you may know, is the author of the Basketball Diaries. It's the closest thing he ever had to a hit single. People Who Died, the Rick Emerson Snuffwatch. Back after this, it's AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Genesis, a clue, he was 12 years old, fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby had leukemia, 14 years old. He looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Those are people who died, died. Church, he let the gimmicks go rotten, so they died of hepatitis in Upper Manhattan. Flying Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wed. They were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. Tried up a hotel room,
Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Trudy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got split in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. And I salute you, brother.
Okay. Wow. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I feel so bad. People have been on hold for like an hour. Oh, and we lost Daryl. Oh, this is my fault. I blame myself for this. No, I don't. I blame Scotty. Daryl, if you're out there. Daryl, if you can hear me. Daryl, who wanted to fight the vegan. But then we lost him because we got behind. What were we doing just now?
I don't know.
Oh, the snuff watch. The Mickey Spillane snuff watch. That was worth it, though. So, Daryl, you want to give us a call back? It's 503-733-2970. Scotty will keep an eye on the phones while they look for Daryl. Yeah, Daryl went, because here's the thing. With that guy earlier who wanted to fight the vegan, he was 190. All right, what happened to
him? He said he was 195.
190, he's like, I can shave it. But here's the thing. 180 is the cutoff. And there's no way you can shave off 15 pounds legally and safely in like, what is it, August 5th. So that's why that's like 3 weeks. There's no way you can shave off 15 pounds in 3 weeks. It's not going to happen. CJ the vegan, because he's a vegan and just eats whatever, bark, he weighs 165. That's the thing. He weighs 165, and you got to be within 15 pounds of that. That's what figured out what it is. CJ the vegan is 165. And if you want to fight the vegan, you got to be within 15 pounds either way of 165. So the most you can weigh is 180. So you got to be between 150 and 180. Daryl, now see, we have this guy Daryl who was on hold, who was actually in the he was in the weight range, which sucks. So yeah, but we were just on hold, we weren't able to get to him. So Daryl, if you're out there, you give us a call back. Or if you or someone you know, we are looking for a meat eater to fight CJ the vegan. So we've got a few people that have weighed in already, some emails. We got a guy who called in, but again, I think he's too heavy. That guy that we talked to earlier, and this would be happening. This is Sport Fight. I was really wrong about this. Apparently, it's more advanced than I thought. It's Sport Fight 17. This is Sport Fight 17. Happening at the Rose Garden, August 5th. And this would be one of the preliminary bouts. The refs there, there'd be rules, there'd be, safety, the equipment, all that stuff. So this would be happening, though, in front of X thousand people at the Rose Garden. We've got the vegan. All we need is the meat eater to fight him. So if you're within 15 pounds either way of 165, you need to call us. It's 503-733-2970, or you can email us as well. What the hell am I doing here? Let's go to Kristen, who joins us now. Kristen from accounting on the Rick Emerson radio program. How are you, Kristen?
Oh, I'm peachy keen.
How are you?
I'm wondering why I held on for so long, because this is, like an hour ago.
It's no longer relevant at all, probably. I'm sorry. This is one of those days where the bachelorette party thing really just took over, and then we got into the snuff watches, the whole thing.
And actually, I had you on speakerphone. I've gotten more work done in the last half hour than I have all day.
Thank you.
Maybe that's saying something.
I'm sorry about that.
No, the Partridge Family thing, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Because there were two little kids, and in addition to, David Cassidy and Susan Day and Danny Bonaducci, there was Tracy Partridge and there was Chris Partridge. And Tracy was played by this chick called Suzanne Croft. She was the fatty.
Okay. The fatty. Thank you.
And then, well, it's kind of cool because the Chris Partridge, it was kind of a la Darren on Bewitched because they had one kid playing the first season.
Oh, same role, two different actors.
Yeah, they fired him and they got another kid.
How does a kid get fired from the Partridge Family? What do you have to do to get kicked off that show?
Apparently he was a brat and he, like, bit David Cassidy or something.
Oh, see, now I got something to ask. Now I got something to ask David Cassidy about whenever we get him on. What do you think of Dennis Pitzenbarger being able to fool David Cassidy into thinking he's Dan Abadiducci?
Well, he probably could because Dennis would say something like about somebody's boobs or something and it would fall right into the whole...
He would say something dumb and male.
Yeah, but yes. But thinking it over, it kind of would sound like Danny Bonaducci.
That is true.
Work.
I love transsexuals. And blow. Yeah, all right.
Excellent.
Hey, you're going to be watching that Storm tonight.
Yeah, I'll be at Dante's, actually. You know, a few of, you know, because she works there, so I've been hanging out with a few of the folks down there. Stephanie, of course, and Mike D, a couple of the other...
Are you and Stephanie in love? You can tell me.
We're having a torrid love affair.
See, because in my head, you are. You know, I don't care whether...
He really is starting to believe this, Kristen, because talks about it so much.
No,
I don't think her boyfriend would approve. Well, maybe her boyfriend would approve.
Oh, yeah, yeah, her boyfriend would have a real problem with that.
Hey, I'll fight the vegan, by the way.
Do you weigh within 15 pounds of that weight?
I'm a little below that, but give me a few extra...
It's time to eat.
I could put on a couple of more pounds.
And here's the thing, and I don't care whether you and Stephanie are in love or not. In my head, it's going to be that you are.
Well, then come on down to Dante's tonight. We'll be sitting together.
I feel all tingly and awkward.
There you go.
All right, thank you, Kristen.
No, thank you.
Okay. Daryl's back. We'll get him in a second. John, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, sir?
You've got a hot dog stand in Hawaii.
I actually have three of them, Rick.
Okay, and... All right.
And they're called Weenies and Bikinis. And I have girls in bikinis selling my hot dogs.
Okay.
In fact, he had a couple of commercials on a while back, called one with Oscar Mayer and one with Hooters. So they call me the Hooters of hot dogs over there.
Who is they? Who calls you that?
The media.
The media. Okay. So how? Well, I apologize that you've held so long to tell us this. How can I help you, sir?
So long. Well. Somebody from your staff called me, so that's okay.
Sorry? Did Scotty J call you?
Are we interviewing you?
Well, anyway,
I'm so confused. Who called you?
Well, we're talking... Whoever your screener is, because I gave him... Or I called earlier and tried to get on the air, and you were busy.
Yes.
And so you were talking about... Tanya as a mediator.
Yeah.
Tanya Harding. Oh, okay. So you have interactions or knowledge of Tanya Harding. Okay.
Well, I actually had a Tanya hot sauce a few years ago. I don't know if you...
I've seen that. They used to sell it at Salvador Molly's up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's on eBay now for $35 a bottle. And actually, she sued me. I don't know if you knew that.
Really? Tanya Harding sued over that hot sauce?
Yeah, she sued me.
I think she needs the money.
She did a cease and desist, and her lawyer in San Diego told me that... that I had to pay her 50 cents a bottle.
Did you say, screw that?
Well, of course I did.
Yeah,
and
fantastic.
One of my biggest clients was Made in Oregon Stores, and they pulled it off the shelf because they didn't want that kind of press.
All right. Well, and do you live in Hawaii now?
Part-time there and part-time here.
That's a good life.
And I love when I come to Portland, I always listen to your show.
Excellent. Thank you. So I apologize that you waited on hold. I wasn't privy to the whole situation there. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you for the inside scoop on Tanya Harding, and thank you for listening, sir.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you, John.
Bye.
All right. There you go. All right. There you go. That's John. I was so confused there for
me
a second.
Me too.
Well, you called me, mister, and I don't know. All right. Oh, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hi, again, everybody's on hold has been waiting for like an hour today. Okay, so you are offering to fight the vegan.
Oh, yeah, I'll beat some vegan ass, man.
Okay, so the vegan, this all started a few weeks ago when a vegan named CJ called up and was calling me out because I've been taunting vegans, and I'm all, they're pale and pasty and pear-shaped and whatever, and so he's like, I'll kick the ass of any meat. He specifically wanted to fight me, but I don't believe that's going to happen. So, but you got to be within 15 pounds of 165. How much do you weigh, Daryl?
I'm 172.
Mm. Fantastic.
So I'm right there.
On 72, and you are a meat eater.
Yes, sir. All day, every day.
Okay. Maybe if you win, we can just get you a cow or something.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
So this would be... now, do you have any infirmities, or do you have hooks or anything?
No.
Okay.
No hooks.
Not that that would rule you out necessarily.
How tall was the vegan guy?
He's like 6'2".
Okay, are you pretty tall, Daryl?
Yeah, I'm 6'1".
Excellent. Okay, now you know this again, as we're telling everybody, this is not in front of a few people. This would be at the Rose Garden as part of sports, you know, one of the opening bouts for Sports Fight 17, which happens August 5th. Matt Lindland, who has been on the show many times, good friend of the show, this is, we'll be working with him on this. So this is, you are into that.
Oh, yeah.
Win, lose, or draw, you would be either hailed or shamed in front of your friends and neighbors.
Oh, yeah. I'll make him cry like a little girl, man.
That's the spirit. All right, Daryl. I'm gonna put you on hold. Scotty's gonna get all your contact info. Somebody from CBS will be contacting you, and then the next step will be to make sure everybody's on board. We'll see who else we get within the next. I think the cutoff point is the end of tomorrow's show.
All right.
But I'm gonna put you on hold, and who knows, sir? Sooner rather than later, you may be in the ring punching a vegan.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Okay, hang on. There you go. That's Daryl. All right. Good times. Do we have to break?
No. Let's do the top five.
Let's do the top five, but because. We got to remember tonight, we forgot to mention this last week. We felt like tools.
You're not supposed to draw attention to that.
What? Why?
Because we messed up.
Oh, last week we forgot to mention Storm. I know, we talked about it all day Monday and all day Wednesday, but like the night of the actual show Tuesday, because it was the whole Court and Fatboy thing. And by the end of the show, we just got behind and we're like, oh, Storm, don't. But by the way, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Oregonian, specifically Lee Williams, in a special of the Oregonian. I would encourage everybody within the sound of my voice to pick up today's Oregonian. Look at the front page of the living section. The above the fold, as they say, it's a huge article about Storm Large. First of all, can we just acknowledge this picture of her is the best photo ever
taken of her.
She's a beautiful woman, but this is the best photo ever. More rock, less walk, says Storm.
What is the title of the article?
And by the way, the title of the article... Well, guess what that is. She's apparently a Shentouz, but listen to this. You would think that at the Oregonian that I would have a spell check. It's nerve-wracking, they say, without a W, for reasons unknown. Maybe they had to fire the spell checker. Maybe reporters are having to set the copy for them, to set the type themselves now. The best part about this living section article in the Oregonian, because, again, I just got to say that we've been having Storm, not to be all about the glory of us, but, you know, we were Storm before Storm was cool. We've been having Storm on the show for a long time. Storm and the Balls played at our listener party a couple years ago in June. Storm herself performed at listener party 9. Storm has always been cool, but I'm saying we have old school love for Storm. And so it's cool that everybody else is finally catching up to what this show and the people of Underground Portland have known for quite some time, which is that Storm is fantastic. And any of you who saw our Dantes over the last couple years, you know that. The best part about this, though, is the article is called Storm Watch. Right there. They're not even trying to hide the theft now.
Surrounding cities and suburbs, the Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
Front page of the Oregon and Living Section. Storm Watch. With being big letters. And you know, when we say Storm Watch, we say that as a way of ridiculing people in the media who come up with headlines like that, who think that it's brilliant. See, we're being ironic because it's a stupid name. Storm Watch is a dumb name. It'd be like Storm at Large, which is our other thing. So there you go. Thank you to the Oregonian for proving that we are once again correct in our assessment of the mainstream media. Are we doing the top five?
We've got to do it.
Can we do it tomorrow? Are we going to have time is my question.
We'll have time. I'll move some things.
You'll make time, yep. Little Missy. All right, Tim Riley, to the studio, please. We are now rolling today's top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count.
Storm Watch. We should call them and tell them it was a joke. They should really only steal the things that we're not kidding about. All right, here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
And as we head into another Tuesday night with rock star Supernova,
be there,
firmly locked into our evening plans, we ponder the realities of rock, roll, and the pursuit of worldwide fame and infamy. And who better to sing the song of stardom than rock and roll stars themselves? Here are the top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star. With honorable mention going to The Wasps, I want to be somebody.
The wasps. This is fantastic. Oh, no, no, stop. No, 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 they're... There we go. Are they backward again? Okay, I double-checked them this time.
I'm playing number one, and you have it labeled as number six.
I didn't have it labeled as number six, though. Fine, screw it. Now that we've given away number one.
Nobody can tell.
All right, this is Wasp, by the way. I want to be somebody. Nate, by the way, said that he said this whole show was just about bad Tonya Harding jokes and Wasp songs. That's really true. This song really probably shouldn't be on the list, but you know what? I am just taking opportunity, taking advantage of my position as host of this show to play Wasp. Man, these guys really never got the fame they deserved. Throwing raw meat into the audience, that's rock. Drinking blood out of a skull and setting women on fire. They don't do that anymore. Be somebody, shower! There you go, Wasp. I want to be somebody. Top five songs about becoming a rock star.
At number five, it's AC/DC with the Rock and Roll Singer.
Yeah. By the way, it's a long way to the top. There's only one AC/DC song. It's a long way to the top and show business. We could have done top five all about... We could have done a top five AC/DC songs about being a rock star. But we opted not to do that. It's like with the Beach Boys and car songs. You got to limit yourself to just one. So we limited ourselves to this. This is a great song. Just called Rock and Roll Singer. Yeah, we could have done nothing but songs from these guys. Really, like, the most rhythmic white rock band that ever existed, I think.
Don't these fellas sing in this?
Thank you.
Oh, I hit the
song. I could listen to this all day. Top five songs about becoming a rock star.
Number four, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Into the Great Wide Open.
This is a great song. It's got Johnny Depp and Faye Dunaway in the video. The video's weird, too, because the video's a different mix of this song. They add in a second solo and another chorus.
Eddie waited till he finished high school. He went to Hollywood, got a tattoo. He met a girl out there with a tattoo, too.
The frustrating thing about this song is that it ends on such a cliffhanger. I think it ends with that. They made a record and it went in the charts, and that's how it ended, like you never... But in the video, they tell the whole story about how he... About how he, karma comes back because he fires his manager, and then, like, he gets jinxed and he loses everything. It's a great song.
Maybe that's what David Cassidy needs.
She had a guitar and she taught him some chords.
This is from that period when everything sounded like ELO. Top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star.
Number three, Chuck Berry with Johnny B. Good.
This is sort of the definitive. This is the grandfather of all songs about becoming a rock and roll star. I mean, there is a school of thought that says this ought to be number one. But, I mean, it's so hard to choose here. Probably hands down one of the five most influential rock songs ever written. And this is doubly great because it's sort of the story of Chuck Berry himself. It's sort of an autobiographical song. Cast a huge shadow. Top five songs about becoming a rock star.
At number two, Bad Company with Shooting Star.
I can't even tell you how many times I had to play this as a DJ. What a great song this is, though. Shooting Star, if this song came out today, it would be optioned to made into a movie starring Justin Timberlake within a week.
Johnny was too bad the only movie he's ever done was strict to video.
Love me too, I think it was. This is a great song. Have you heard this song, Sarah? Oh, we should play we'll play this whole thing tomorrow. It's a great story song.
Now he's in a rock and roll outfit, and everything's all right.
Don't you know, I'm not like the world's biggest Bad Company song, but a Bad Company fan, this is a great song. Ah, we should do this top five again tomorrow.
Johnny told his mama,
let's do every top five every day, over and over. Top five songs about becoming a rock and roll star.
At long last, up to number one now with Foreigner and Jukebox Hero.
It pains me to make a Foreigner song number one anywhere, but I had to be honest. I had to look deep within myself. Couldn't deceive myself about this.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low.
Production is so dated, but what a great song.
Couldn't get a ticket.
It was so that show.
Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene.
You know what? Because every boy has stood in the mirror, looked into the mirror, listening to this on the listening to this on the radio on air guitar. He bought a beat up six string.
Hell. In a secondhand store.
Trey Yance and I bonding over this song.
That one guitar felt good in his hand. Didn't take long to understand. That one guitar.
Sarah's telling me we have to go to break, but we're almost to the hook.
Was the one way ticket. Only one way to go.
This is the pre-chorus.
So he started rocking.
Back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, it really should have been a top 10. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Tim is pointing out, well, Rock and Roll Band by Boston, Cover the Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook. Oh, what am I thinking? Yeah, we're going to do that whole top five again tomorrow. Same songs, same order. Just so I can play Wasp again. Also Bad Company. And so Sarah can hear that whole Bad Company song, which is genius. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, Scotty, we've got a pair still to give away, right, of the International Fight League tickets. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So you know what? As we are wrapping things up, now we've already done one pair. We will do another one right now. We will take caller number five. You win a pair of tickets to the International Fight League, which is happening September 9th, 2006 at Memorial Coliseum, featuring Matt Lindland's Portland Wolfpack. We'll take caller number five right now, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Caller Mike is adding more to the Storm news story. He says, if you look at Storm, you can see rug burn and a bruise on her knee. No, it's totally true right there. You look at her knee, her right knee? That's a little rug burn. All right.
Okay, Rick.
No, I'm just reading. I am not saying anything. I am reading the observations by the... You know, okay, here's the thing about this picture of her, though, on the front page of the living section, right below the phrase, Stormwatch. you know why this picture weirds me out? Not only because she looks extra beautiful there, but because she looks like Kim Morgan. Look at that picture and think Kim Morgan.
Yeah.
That's totally what it is. I don't know what I think it's something about, I think it's the eyeliner. It's something about the mouth, too. It's the pose,
She's
I think.
She's got a pretty mouth.
Yes, it is that Storm has a pretty mouth. Okay. Well, anyway, so pick of the Oregonian and see this article cleverly titled Storm Watch, which is in today's paper. That is E1. Let me read a couple emails re-Storm. Let's see. Aaron, geek in the city, No, god damn it. Well, whatever. Rick, folks need to vote a lot and often for Storm, not simply because she rocks. They need to vote because Canadian and Australian governments are encouraging radio stations to vote for the D'Elia and Aussie people. Storm is not only fighting other contestants, she is taking on foreign governments. That doesn't surprise me because Canadian government, they're so... the Canadian government and the Canadian radio are so interlinked, much more than they are here. It's like the BBC. So the foreign the governments of Canada and Australia are actually telling radio stations to make people vote for them. So see, you are fighting foreigners. You are fighting dirty, godless Canadians. Let's see. Jeff says, I weighed in at 192. I can show up at the studio and weigh in at 185 by Tuesday. Guaranteed I can make 180 on time, safely and ready to crush a dirty hippie. I will spread this vegan on my venison, says Jeff. How can you lose, like, 13 pounds in a week or two? I don't know. Sure, I want to know the answer to that. Tell Sarah to go to Three Sisters, right next to Ringler's Annex. Fantastic place.
See, I just tried calling there, and it was disconnected.
Well, because they're not going to be... Oh, disconnected?
Yeah.
Disassembled. Rick, there is a male-only strip club called the Silverado for Sarah. Full nude. Good times.
I called them. No cover today.
Really? So are you guys going to Silverado?
I think we might.
Fantastic. So please do not stalk Sarah and her hot friends tonight. Is there is that a straight place or what's a gay place, obviously, right?
Yeah, I actually had a bad experience there once, so I'm looking forward to having
a hitting on a man and
one.
He just wasn't interested?
No, actually, I was treated very rudely by the doorman, so.
Oh, well, but, you know.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. You know, maybe it was just somebody having a bad night.
Yeah, but there's naked guys. We call it a wash, right?
Tomorrow. Maybe.
Fill me in tomorrow. See, it's that's like right on the verge of being jokeable, but I can't go anywhere with it. All right, hey, tonight, Storm, Rockstar Supernova, tonight, 9 o'clock, on Coin 6, something, blah. Let's see, we want to thank Cena Radio Correspondents, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy. We want to thank David Cassidy. Oh no. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio, in the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J, so much more than an intern. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, Stephanie Miller tomorrow morning at 6. See y'all tomorrow. Don't let the barristers grin enough. Thank you for listening. See you then. Bye.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.